Tell me what the Office of Whistleblowing and Transparency does inside OIG at the Defense Department.
Well, starting 7 years ago, and certainly with greater interest when Inspector General Gordon Hedell came on board in 2008, we started looking at how we protect our sources, how we treat the people who come forward in investigations, audits, and evaluations. And so the idea behind this office I'm in right now was to coordinate a general environment policy that allows us to protect the people who bring the information to us about wrongdoing within the department.
Now, when you talk about protecting a source, are you talking about protecting anonymity? Are you talking about protecting them once people know who they are to prevent retaliation, or maybe a combination?
Well, that's a great question, because there's a lot of confusion about that. We are under an obligation, to the extent possible, to protect the confidentiality of the people who come to, for instance, the defense hotline. But as you can anticipate, when you get into an investigation, people will start listening to the questions you ask, and they will try to find out whether or who brought that information forward to you. So we have a process by which, after a personnel action is taken, and it's only after the action is taken, we can come in and do an investigation to find out if that whistleblower was targeted for reprisal because of the information they brought to us.
Tell me about some of the, I don't know if we want to call stories like these success stories, but I guess in the context of what your office is trying to do to help defend people and protect people, they would be success stories. Talk about some of the situations in which your office has found itself, I guess.
Well, and it's great. Defining success is not about finding against a manager or for a complainant, a whistleblower. Success to an inspector general is when you have driven right down the middle line, and the middle line is protecting the process of whistleblowing. Whistleblowing is a positive good. It's promoted by the president in an executive order. So as long as you understand that principle, success is when you run a well-conducted investigation. And I think that the two strings that we did really well with, starting in 2004 and 2005, we worked with the National Security Agency and then with other agencies, including the Department of Army, on examining security clearance decisions to see if they were being used as a pretext for reprisal. And that's an activity that was not well defined before we got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that team, Civilian Reprisal Investigations, is now, in my opinion, the lead federal investigative unit at looking at that. And then the other thing I'm immensely proud of is the work we've done with our law enforcement agents inside the Defense Department on providing whistleblower investigation services when their sources run afoul of the system. And there was a notable case in Army involving the contracting of transportation services that I thought we did a great job on in 2005. And then recently we did another case involving the Defense Security Service that I'm very proud of. And then also when CIFA was operating, the counterintelligence field activity, which had a very short lifespan, we got involved in a case there that had some pretty significant congressional contacts, and I was particularly proud of that.
Tell me about the reverse of this. One of the criticisms or defenses that you hear sometimes in these cases is, well, they're just a disgruntled employee. Talk about the necessity and the role that your office plays in, I mean, I guess playing it straight down the middle and making sure that investigations are not biased toward the whistleblower nor toward the people against whom they're blowing the whistle.
Well, when it comes to civilian reprisal investigations, you know, the Congress has already considered this, and we don't consider the motive of the whistleblower. You may, in fact, have an employee that has other things on their mind, but they're going to get the protection that Title V provides. So you may have a person who, for instance, has an EEO complaint against the department or has a labor grievance under a collective bargaining agreement, and they may be throwing a whistleblower complaint into the bin along with those other two. But from the Inspector General's purpose, we come in, we look at the facts, we apply the law, and we understand that Congress is not looking at the motive of the employee, and you make the finding. Now, what you want to do for those employees, though, is as a matter of outreach, you do want to be able to go into the individual components within the department and help both supervisors and managers on the one side of the equation and the employees on the other side to understand where the lines are on the pitch. Because to the extent that employees know where the law provides protection and where it does not provide protection. They can be prudent in the management of their own careers. And even more importantly, supervisors and managers also need to know that even after whistleblowing has taken place, as long as they are properly operating under the personnel system, there are many actions they can take with respect to that employee that are lawful. And where we get in trouble is when everybody is sitting there in ignorance. And we've had situations in the past where that's happened, and we try to help people educate themselves so it doesn't.
One of the people who wrote about you for your nomination for the Sammy this year wrote that you had to fight to get jurisdiction of the black programs. I imagine they're the very super secret programs that DOD conducts, and it's I imagine that process was pretty challenging to be able to get the information that you needed to conduct investigations in those areas.
Well, I will give credit, though, to the National Security Agency. When I started delving into the protection provided to our intelligence and counterintelligence assets, our people on the ground, the National Security Agency had started on this track in 1996, and I think they've moved a long way towards developing a program of source protection. In fact, as we developed our program over here, we took a lot of the ideas from that 1996 initiative. The key point is that you've got to have a system that protects the source, but also understands that that agency's got a very unique mission, one that's not commonly understood by many Americans and not commonly understood by a lot of federal employees. So whether it's the National Security Agency or the Defense Intelligence Agency or the or NRO or NGA or our military members who are doing intelligence work, we can provide that protection as long as we have an active and robust investigative process. And that was something that was actually I was directed to do early from our front office, because we could see that in the 2004 and 2000 timeframe that was going to be a coming need in the war as it unfolded.